This is Pants in the Boot, a podcast that demonstrates even people who speak the same language can't understand each other. I'm Glenn Fleischman in the great city of Seattle in the northwest of the Pacific portion of the United States. Joining me on this episode and this series about things kind of in and around the home are Gene in Portland, Oregon, Chris in Broughty Ferry near Dundee, Scotland, James in Glasgow, Erica in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and Sarah in Auckland, New Zealand. Folks, flats, apartments, tenements, railroad, I think that's what they called, railroad flats, railroad apartments, that's SROs, which you can see in the Blues Brothers movies, single room occupancy. There's one other two, efficiencies. What kind of places have you
bachelors.
All?
Bachelors.
Right.
Studios. Oh, yeah. Duplexes. What's a duplex?
A duplex. Oh, all right. So let's talk about it.
Studio flat.
A chambre d'hôte. Let's start with tenements. James, you live, now tenement has a distinctly negative connotation in the United States. They were dense housing in the Northeast, typically in New York. There were all kinds of rules or fires. They're kind of looked on as disdain, a thing of the past. But you said you live in a tenement. What does that mean to you?
I mean, also I would refer to it as a tenement flat, which
tenement flat.
Is opening a whole world of more confusion. But yeah, I mean, tenements here, they're like, the buildings are about, I don't know, 110-ish years old, the one I'm in. And it's typically like four stories, two flats / apartments on each side with a central staircase, a shared staircase going up. This is where I start to like actually run out of authority.
Neither.
Whoa. Oh. Shots fired.
Well, Chris, you know, why don't you tell us, since you were posting things earlier about the tenement flat museum in Glasgow.
I guess they were high-density housing. They were one of the first high-density housing things we had in Scotland. But they're pretty shishy these days. They're pretty fancy, I would submit, for a lot of people. They're usually architecturally very distinguished, a very particular kind of architecture. They've got great addresses because the address will be given as like second floor one, second floor two, or first flat, second flat, because they're branching off these two things. But as Jim says, there's a museum in Glasgow called Tenement House, which is one of these preserved from the Victorian era. And it is marvelous. It's glorious to go in and see it. And there's little things like, we might come back to this in another future episode, but little things like a sleeping hole, a little cubby in the kitchen. And if you look on my Twitter, you'll see a picture of it. You search for Pants in the Boot. While you might think that this is something that would be for like a servant or a maid, actually it was the warmest room in the house.
Right.
And so the owner and her daughter would sleep in there. And it's basically a huge cupboard in the kitchen with curtains that pull across it. And it's this really nice, snug little space. But they're nice. I like tenements. I used to live in one.
My question for you guys then, so in the United States and Canada, we use the word flat and apartment sometimes interchangeable. I'm sure we'll get into that, but we have what we call apartment buildings. Is there something in the UK that's called an apartment building that is separate from a tenement? Or is it just another word for what we would call a building with a lot of homes in it?
It would be known by the much less romantic, much more prosaic phrase, a block of flats.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, once you start going into the sort of concrete monstrosities of, you know, a high number of floors, that's a block of flats. And typically in Glasgow, we've been blowing them up of late because then,
with no one in them, I hope.
I mean, like, basically because they're not exactly, they weren't exactly the nicest housing. So they've been getting rid of them and building smaller things.
It kind of goes back to my thing of the tenements being architecturally quite distinguished. There's bow windows, it's sandstone in Glasgow. They're smart, elegant Georgian architecture. Whereas a block of flats will just be, you know, square sides. Chuck them up.
Yeah, and the ones certainly in some of the areas around Glasgow, they're definitely the high end of the property market. You know, I mean, you sometimes you'll get an entire house, you know, so you've got several stories of it in a similar style from the outside, and you'll get like the main door flat, which is like the fancy one where, you know, it's a main door leading out into the street, so you don't have the close, and the close is the bit with the staircase that goes up internally to the front doors of all the flats. So if you've got a main door or a first floor flat, oh, God, we're going to have to do floors, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to.
We'll have to. Yeah, we'll come back, to that. That's a whole episode.
But yeah, in New Zealand, flats are, they've historically been A, something you rent, as in, and we'd it would almost be like you could refer to a house as a flat, but you could also
Holy cow!
Do you have tenements though? That I'm still stuck on tenements.
No, we don't have tenements. We do, however, have historical mid-century blocks of flats, the same way as the Brits do. But yeah, a flat could be a house, what we traditionally think of as a flat contemporarily. But yeah, I think that the unifying idea is that it's something that you rent. That said, however, there's also a little bit of an association of quality, because if you had a really nice flat, calling it a flat would be a little bit derogatory.
Oh,
interesting.
I mean, not excessively so, but there's a little bit of a assignment. It's like, it's not, the funny thing is the house next door, which we meet exactly the same building to your flat, but if it was bought and owned, we wouldn't refer to that as a flat.
So we've got, like, in this building, I think we're one of, like, two people left who are actually owner-occupiers of the building, and the rest of it is, like, owned by somebody who's now living in New Zealand, probably.
But you
renting out to the local, well, in this area, the local high-end students, you know, your medics and stuff.
James, you would say, I own a flat.
Yes, I do own a flat.
Oh, wild. Okay. Because I think in, Erica and Jean, correct me if I'm wrong, I think when we use flat, when you say an apartment in America, it almost always means something you're renting, though not always, I've discovered.
I feel like that's changed more recently.
There's apartment, condo, and co-op here. Plus, sometimes people use the term flat, right?
Am I missing I didn't hear flat a lot as a young person. I felt like that sort of took over more later. Is that the case for you, Jean?
It's funny with tenement and flat, because definitely flat was not a word we use until people started using it. I felt it was a bit of a pretension, you know,
right.
Because we don't have flats. But then, you know, one of my friends invited me to go to San Francisco. She says, we're going to get a flat with other people. And I thought, oh, that's what they call apartments in San Francisco. This is back in the 70s. But later, I think, you know, you look at, you know, real estate type advertising and new developments or whatever, and they love to use the word flats, and nobody says apartments, because apartments just a place you rent.
Yeah, and I think that that's in part because flat is a more British term.
Yeah.
And in North America, the British terms are just considered automatically fancy, just like a British accent is considered automatically delightful.
Oi, mate.
You should try living in Britain, where we all have British accents.
Oh, I don't think
none of us are fancy.
My heart couldn't handle it. It
takes me back to when I was a little boy and I went to London for the first time with my parents, and they had rented a flat, like a self-catering flat, in effect.
A self-catering flat. All right. Okay. But go ahead.
It's a precursor of Airbnb, kind of
thing. Like the term. We never
use that. But when we were on the way, I was so excited, because to me, flat just meant a high rise. So it meant it would be on like the 14th floor or something. And I thought that was exceptionally exciting. When we arrived, it was into a very nice, you know, a subdivided house that had been broken up into each floor into flat. It was only like 3 stories high or something. 3 floors high. But I was so distraught, because I thought I was going to get to go in a big elevator up and see like all across the city and stuff. Because to me, flat meant high rise.
That's the opposite of what it was sort of in the Midwest. If you saw the word apartment, it was a building that was full of apartments, full of living spaces. And if you saw the word flat, often that meant it was a house that used to be like a one family home that was bigger that had then been subdivided for usually college students in the town that I was in. So a flat was usually an apartment that was part of an old house, and an apartment was in a building. Like I don't know that anybody would take a house, divide it up into apartments, and refer to them as apartments. No. That just seems very strange to me.
No, here you definitely get. So you get the tenement flats that were built this way.
Right.
So they're intended, and they're like in this building, half of the building's one bedroom, the other half are two bedroom. And so that was how it was intended. But you do also get all these houses that have been subdivided into flats, and then possibly those flats subdivided inside them as well. And those always lead to like doors that go nowhere, mm-hmm. or, you know, things that have been yep. bricked up in weird ways. And has this person just stolen a room from the other thing?
No, that's for the ghosts, James. You have to keep the ghosts out. And so they have to put in false doors and bricks.
Mm. The other good thing is... when there's storage, like say there's attic space or whatever, some people will just claim it as theirs.
Raising my hand here.
or basements, but we don't tend to have a lot of basements around here, or certainly around here we've got shops in our basements. But yeah, it is the kind of like, well, 100 years ago, somebody decided that the attic was theirs, and they have no proof of that, but you've just bought it, so...
The major thing I came across when I was moving back to New Zealand after living in the States for so long was, again, pulling on the rental theme, is that, yeah, we refer to the people that we're renting the flat with as flatmates. And so when you say someone, so-and-so is my flatmate, there's a connotation, we're all renting, we're in together and stuff like this. And but I, after nearly a decade of living in America, I came back to New Zealand and started referring to my roommates. Mm-hmm. And my New Zealand friends were, wait, you were living in the same room?
Right.
yeah. And it was, that was amazing. And I had to, wait, no, flatmate. And because like they kind of had the idea, a roommate is somebody that you share a bedroom with.
Right.
And so, yeah, flatmate is definitely the rental person, the person you're renting with.
That might come from our college culture, because when you go away to college and stay in a dorm room, you are literally having a roommate for the first time, and you are living in the same room as them. And I think at least for it's possible that just sort of extrapolated out into the whole apartment, the whole flat. It's my roommate because we share a living
space. I think the whole thing has like a, because it's real estate connected, is there's never going to be a right answer because it's being reinvented, like, you know, all the time. For example, college students today have a good chance of having a room of their own, which we never had.
What?
I know.
Oh, no, it's. I don't even get that.
I wanted to just circle back to tenement for a second because, yes, from Charles Dickens, that's what, to me, everything bad was associated with tenements. But then I lived in New York City where tenement is used as a neutral term or neutral. It's just descriptive of a building like James described at the beginning. And I lived in a tenement. It wasn't a tenement, but it was a tenement from a architectural point of view. And it was just one kind of design of building. And finally, I did have an apartment that had a little sleeping loft, which was actually in the attic over the hallway, that really didn't belong to this particular apartment, but somebody made it part of the apartment, and I can't be blamed for that.
I only knew of the word tenement from the phrase tenement halls from the song The Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel, and, you know, talking about the words of the prophet are written on the subway walls and tenement halls. And when I went to look for tenement, like, it was definitely a, you know, something that you would associate more with a subway wall than like a nice place to live. So
I wouldn't say they were nice. And I also think it's, you know, like that song's from the 60s. And I lived in New York in the late 80s, by which time things had gotten expensive and yuppified, and, you know, a tenement was just a tenement, not other anything other than shape and form.
Now, my family came to the country in the through New York, or a big chunk of it, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and they almost certainly would have lived in tenements, and our friend Helene Wecker has written about tenements in the structure of her book, The Golem and the Genie, and its sequel, The Hidden Palace, because it's a slice of life from the early 1900s in New York, and everyone should read these two books. Plug. And anyway, but it's a great description of it, because there was a pre and post tenement law. So tenements were built, there were tenement houses apparently, which were basically like these broken up houses, like in England, where they would take a house, a big house, and break it up. But then there were tenements that were custom built, and they were built as fire traps with no real regulation. Then there were fires, and then a huge tenement law went in that was apparently well enforced, that required breezeways and other kinds of things like fire escapes and fire doors and fire breaks. And those are the ones that survived, because all the other ones had to be torn down or burned down. And so, Gene, you would have lived in one that met that, but it was seen as there's a tenement museum in New York, which I've actually was hoping to go to my next visit, which will be someday, because it traces the history of that evolution. Tenements were real stepping stones for immigrants coming through.
Fire escapes were a boon as well for renters because it was like a little extra real estate if you weren't too afraid to sit out there.
I would say, well, we don't have fire escapes here. I have seen a tenement go up in flames just round the corner.
Oh my God.
And that was one of the most terrifying things I've seen in my life. I'm not sure. Like, I get what you're saying about the connotations of it being poor, but definitely here it's not. They're fancy buildings. There's nice tiling in the hallways.
Do you have lofts there, though? We have lofts. Well, so and that's Gene, you know from the late, in the late 80s, how a loft was like the crummiest place to live, but you could just squat or get one really cheap. And then now it's like $25 million.
What they build specifically to be a loft is not a loft, in my opinion. A loft is
yeah, they'll build a loft,
warehouse but that converted. Somebody made livable.
Yeah.
You do get, like, a loft here would be in a house and people, it would traditionally just be full of like insulation or something.
Right, right.
And maybe where you stuffed like old boxes of things.
I thought but you it were wasn't like bodies. A room. Like,
no, a loft in New York is like this great, it's a warehouse and the top floor often has these amazing windows and incredible views and they're totally empty and they have like old growth lumber boards and people are like, why is no one in here? Oh, it's a death trap and this is a part of town that's the most crime ridden part. It's, you know, Batman kind of scale of Gotham City back in the 70s and 80s, right, in New York. And then everything changed and then a loft became the most beautiful, most desirable place to live. And as Gene says, like the warehouses were then eventually torn down and lofts were built and they are supposed to resemble this airy quality of life, but not quite the same thing.
I think it would be here, it would be a room that you basically you'd colonized from the rest of the house and you go in and you put flooring in and you probably add a window so there was actually some light to it. And then, you know, bingo, you've got another bedroom when you're trying to sell the place.
But down to the other side, other end of the house, though, James, you said earlier we don't really do basements in the UK, and you're right.
I can tell you, like, after this, I'll tell you a story about basements. But go on.
We're gonna talk about basements, ground floors, and upper floors in another episode because I think that's rich. But I wanted to ask a question. So we didn't efficiency apartments. I think are particularly SRO is a particularly American thing that you probably never had in any other country or in that name. Like an SRO is a place. If you watch Blues Brothers, it's really that's what it is. These incredibly tiny rooms packed together with men, one to a room usually with barely enough room to lie down in, and maybe a hot plate if you're lucky and you violated the rules. And the trains would go by outside your window. It's really not that strange. Yeah. And efficiencies were like, or bachelor pads, right, or bachelor flats would be like a place that had just barely the amenities, but it was enough to sort of sustain.
And all in one room, possibly with a bathroom, possibly not.
Yeah, you didn't, right, the bathroom could be shared and whatever, but it was a way for people like, you know, particularly again, young men, even middle-aged, older men to have an affordable place to live. But that's not that doesn't.
Also called studio sometimes.
Studio.
Well, I was wondering about that because efficiency, I associate more with like motels and like transient housing, like a motel.
Efficiencies are. They're built. No, it depends on the part of the country. Probably,
no, I know. But I'm just saying that you could, if you were going into, you know, going for a beach vacation, let's say, and instead of getting a motel room, you got an efficiency was like a room where you could also have like a refrigerator. They didn't used to all have refrigerators in them in the day, and also a hot plate or something like that, and maybe extra plumbing.
Yeah,
New Zealand studio apartments have traditionally been just glorified hotel rooms to a certain extent. Yeah, it's like I live in a studio apartment, but it's more like an American studio apartment where it's all just one big open space, and it's actually got like delineated spaces. But majority of studio apartments in New Zealand, and you would expect it if it's labeled studio, is that it's effectively a glorified hotel room where you will have a nook off to the side where it's like a kitchenette type space.
Well, I'm going to give this episode some room to breathe, and we'll be back with more conversations about housing and floors. Thank you to Gene, Chris, James, Erica, and Sarah. And thanks to listener Kate for suggesting this topic. And thank you to Chris Bream for our theme song. This has been Pants in the Boot, part of the Incomparable Network. You can find us at theincomparable.com. And if you like this episode, you can find more of them. And you can also support us directly by becoming a subscriber and listening to many other fine episodes in the Incomparable Network of shows. I'm your host, Glenn Fleischman. Be back soon.